We had finished two of them out of eight. Hmm? Out of nine. So today we'll chant from that verse. Navadha bhakti kahau tohi pahi saavadhan sunu dharumana mahi. Found that line? Navadha bhakti kahau tohi pahi. Starts with Navadha. Found it? Navadha bhagati kahau tohi pahi. Savadhan sunu dharman mahi. Pratama bhagati santan kar sang. Dusari rati mam katha prasanga. Guru pad pankaj seva. Guru pad pankaj seva. Isari bhagati aman shri ram. Isari bhagati aman shri ram. Chauti bhagati mam gun gana. Karai kapat taji gaan shri ram. Mantra jap mam drid vishwasa. Pancham bhajan so bed prakasa. Chattam seel birati bahu karma. Nirata nirantar sajjan dharma. Satav sam mohi maya jagade. Mote sant adhik kari lekha. Athav jatha lab santosha. Sapne hu nahi dekhai par dosha. Navam saral sab san chal vaina. Mam bharos hi harshan di. Navam hu ekau jin ke hoi.
नारी पुरुष सचराचर कोई, सोई अतिशय प्रिय भामिनी मोरे, सकल प्रकार भगति दृढ़ तोरे, सकल प्रकार भगति दृढ़ तोरे, कार भगति दृढ़ तोरे।
सियावर रामचंद्र की जय। प्रथम भगति संतन कर संगा एसोसिएशन विद सेंट्स, द फर्स्ट टाइप ऑफ डिवोशन विच शबरी रिसीव सम भगवान श्री राम, विच भगवान श्री राम लिस्ट टू शबरी हाउ इम्पोर्टेंट भगवान श्री राम सीज एसोसिएशन विद सेंट्स, दैट ही पुट्स दैट एज फर्स्ट। इमेजिन दैट इज वाई नो इन अवर ट्रेडिशन विच सियावर रामचंद्र की जय, पवन सुत हनुमान की जय, बोलो भाई सब संतन की जय। हाउ इम्पोर्टेंट दैट थिंग इज दैट वी सी टू जय जयकार टू ऑल दी सेंट्स आफ्टर श्री राम एंड हनुमान जी, इन ऑल ट्रेडिशन अक्रॉस इंडिया पीपल विल बी सेइंग दिस थिंग। संतन कर संगा दूसरी रति मम कथा प्रसंगा, इन बालकान इन बिगिनिंग दे इस राम कथा ही स्पीक्स प्रोफिट तुलसीदास जी profusely about Ram Katha. How great is this Ram Katha? And it washes away all Kali Mala. Kali Mala means all the dirt that we pick up in this Kali Yuga. This Ram Katha will just wash away if we go on reveling on Ram Katha. That is the idea. So those two he lists as first. What is third? Guru Pada Pankaja Seva Tisari Bhagati Aman. Third type of bhakti is Guru Pada Pankaja Seva. Seva to the lotus feet of the Guru. That is third type of bhakti. But the last word is very important. Aman. Aman means without ego. Serving the lotus feet of the Guru without ego. Otherwise, that service to the lotus feet also amounts to zero. If ego is there, the activities amount to zero. And what is service to the lotus feet of the Guru, it doesn't merely mean to go and hold the Guru's feet, and in that thing also some man means abhiman, ego, will come up there as well, because see the person thinks, see I am so fortunate, I got this thing. And there is a very famous story Gurudev used to tell about two disciples. They caught 1 foot each, and both of them were, one was pressing the right foot, other was pressing the left foot. And a fly came and sat on the right foot. So the fellow who was pressing the left foot, he tried to hit the fly. Of course, the fly flew away. So when he fired like this, tap, the fly flew away. So this fellow who was pressing the right foot, he said, "Arey, how dare you hit my foot?" So what he did, he hit back that left foot. Because that fellow hit his foot. So quickly the Guru's feet became. He's hitting this one. And then that Guru's stick was standing right there. The other one took that stick and gave that up and broke the Guru's foot. A tragic story Gurudev used to tell him. But quickly that man, Abhiman, comes, you know, this is my foot also. So Guru Pada Pankaja Seva doesn't simply mean pressing foot of Guru. That is the least of that thing. See, many people who are not conversant with the tradition find this thing to be very strange. So this needs explanation, especially for, I mean, all of you, your children will be asking. If you don't have proper answers, clear answers to give to your children, it will not make sense. And such parts of the tradition, they will just drop it off. They will leave it because it doesn't make sense. So you have to equip yourself with good, clear answers also. Then only we can preserve this type of tradition. Most wonderful tradition it is, huh? See, number of things. Please remember, one by one I'll tell. One thing is, serving the lotus feet of the guru means, the guru stands on his feet, na? That symbolizes the principles by which the guru functions or upon which he stands. He stands for certain principles, by certain principles, on certain principles. Because all of this, he's standing on his feet. So those principles which he stands by, those principles which he stands for, those principles which he stands on, the foundation of the guru's life, those are the principles I'm going to serve. Those are the principles I'm going to protect. Those are the principles I'm going to promulgate. Those are the principles that I'm going to preserve. That is the meaning of serving the lotus feet of the guru. Second thing. First, principles. Second thing. Whatever work the guru is engaged in, whatever work he's trying to achieve, if I busy myself in trying to achieve those goals also, or that work as well, to fulfill that work, that is service to guru. Third thing, I worship the feet of the guru because there are three things that is said in the world that flow down. Water. See, this rain never falls up. Rain falls down. From the mountain, it never flows up. It flows down. So rain goes down. Grace or blessing goes down. The parent cannot tell the child cannot tell the parent, "Dad, I bless you." The father tells the child, "Beta, I bless you." The blessing comes down. And the third thing that goes down in knowledge goes from up to down. So if I want knowledge, I have to sit at the feet of the guru. Knowledge comes down. Other thing, when I bow down to the feet of the guru, it makes my mind pliable. It makes my mind conducive to the reception of knowledge. It brings humility to the mind, and only a humble mind can receive knowledge. And if I do not have that humility to bow down to the lotus feet of the guru, the knowledge will hit the hard rock inside and bounce off. But when the person bows down to the feet of the guru, his mind becomes like sponge. Whichever knowledge is given, it is absorbed, soaked up. You see? So for all of these reasons, we worship the lotus feet of the guru. This is very, very, and in some places Tulsidas ji writes also, Shri Guru Charana Saroj Raja Nija Manu Mukura Sudari. I take the dust from the lotus feet of the guru and I cleanse the mirror of my mind. That dust represents the knowledge which we are talking about. That dust is the knowledge which will clean my mind. Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. There is nothing that cleanses the mind like knowledge. And the Tulsidaji is telling, I take that dust and I cleanse the mirror of my mind. So that dust represents the knowledge. So when they ask questions about all of this, you also should be knowing very clearly in your mind to explain to your children. Guru Pada Pankaja Seva. This is the third type of bhagat, devotion. And he says, it should be done aman, without any feeling of ego, abhiman. And please, one more thing. This is especially in Chinmaya Mission. And I remind devotees in Trinidad quite often of this thing. When you come to do seva in Chinmaya Mission, you're doing seva. We say we are doing seva for the guru. We are doing seva for the mission and all that. Please remember, you cannot do seva for anybody in this world except yourself. Don't ever think, oh, I did so much for that guru. I did so much for Chinmaya Mission. And what I got in return? People talk all sorts of things, you know. What I got in return? When you were doing seva there, look. If Bhagwan wants this Chinmaya Mission to go on, and wants this work to go on, and wants the guru's work to go on, you think Bhagwan cannot find people to do it? He'll very well find people. What he's doing, Chinmaya Mission and the guru, they're only providing us an opportunity to offer our seva and so cleanse our own mind. That is an opportunity. We should not be thinking, oh, I did this, nothing. I did not even get recognition on Chinmaya Jayanti.
That is called man. That's why he says he puts the word aman.
Last word there. Important thing. Don't ever think that you're doing sewa for any guru or you're doing sewa for any Chinmay mission or anything. You have been given an opportunity. You've been given a favor so that you can do one more activity so that on your journey you can come closer to God. Always remember this thing. That is the meaning of aman. If the person remembers this, that is aman. Chauthi bhagati mama guna gana karei kapat tajigan. The fourth type of devotion is mama guna gana karei. Singing the praises and glories of, well, the katha was already given there. But we have to think about the qualities. Guna. Guna gana means all the great qualities which Sri Ram has. To be able to, first of all, notice those qualities, and second, to try to imbibe and emulate those qualities. That is the meaning of the fourth type of devotion. For example, Sri Ram confesses very openly to Hanumanji, Hanuman, you have gone to Lanka and you have done so much for me. You have done so much of seva, so selflessly. When I look into my mind, I cannot find any way in which I can ever repay you. And because I feel so bad, I cannot find any way to repay you. I do not have the strength to look you in the face. Because I realize that I am so helpless before you. I cannot look you in the face. Because I owe so much to you. Now see how very honest and sincere and straightforward that Bhagwan is with Hanuman, who is devotee. He is the Lord himself who can come down and make himself indebted to his devotee and openly confess also. What a most wonderful quality to emulate. Guna gana. This is guna. So like that, how many qualities you first observe in Prabhu Sri Ram and then emulate those qualities. That is the meaning. So such wonderful qualities of simplicity. In Uttarakhand, he calls all the people of Ayodhya and he tells all of them. And he gives upadesh to all of them. And the first upadesh is that all of us should learn to be simple. Simple. How he goes to fight Ravan bare feet. How simple? Bare feet. And he explains to Vibhishana that it is not chariots and arrows and bows that win war. There is something greater. So, simple living and high thinking. Qualities to emulate or not? Prabhu Sri Ram exemplifies all of them. So this is the meaning of guna gana. Gan. Tajikapat. Tajikapat means fraud and deceit and all sorts of. Human beings are very good at this thing. Oh, we are all so good. Everybody, you know. We put on a little face here, put on a little face there, show up our personality there. You know, we do that. We say, Swamiji, we have to do that to get by in the world. What we'll do? This is the people's excuse. We have to do it to get by in the world. So when you go there, act brave. Some people say, act brave. Or another one, I saw one bumper sticker, act normal. That's a contradiction in terms, isn't it? If you are normal, you cannot be acting. And if you are acting, you cannot be. No, but it says, act normal. It means we have gone so far from our personality. Now, even to be normal, we have to act. Kya baat hai? So, kapat, all this fraud and deceit and showing. I'm very good at. See, there's a wonderful lesson in Kishkindakhand in the beginning. Hanumanji meets Bhagwan Sri Ram for the first time in Kishkindakhand, beginning of Kishkindakhand. There, he comes in the form of some brahmana, some brahmachari, something. So, after
he introduces himself and Hanumanji asked, who are you? Bhagwan Shri Ram introduced himself so nicely and everything, simply. Then Bhagwan Shri Ram said, okay, enough about me. 1.5 chapai, he introduced himself. Ram's katha for himself is very short. 1.5 chapai, he introduces himself. Then in that same 1.5, he asked, well, who are you? And he asked Hanumanji. Hanumanji became so hurt. He became so miserable. His heart broke. Prabhu, you cast me out into samsara. Subjected me to all the vagaries of peers of opposite. And after all that, you forgot me also? You ask who am? Prabhu Shri Ram asked him, who are you? And Hanumanji, in all his pain and his misery, in his feeling hurt, in his heartbreak, he falls on the feet of Bhagwan Shri Ram and he cries profusely. And when he fell on the feet of Prabhu Shri Ram, that time he forgot that he had taken some Brahmana form. And he reverted back to his own Kapi form. And the moment he reverted back to his Kapi form, Bhagwan Shri Ram lifted him and brought him to his heart. Prabhu Shri Ram taught a nice lesson there. If you take some other form, I will not pay attention to you. You come as you are, I will embrace you. In front of Prabhu, we cannot go in any fraudulent, with any fraudulent face. Bhagwan doesn't recognize. One fellow met another one on the street. He said, hey, George, that is you. You put on so much weight. Look at you. My God, you lost all your hair too. I can hardly recognize you. That fellow said, George, my name is not George. He said, what, you change your name also? He has changed beyond recognition. Anyway, so if we go like that, putting on any other type of face before Bhagwan, there is no recognition. We have to go to the Lord just as we are. Plain and simple. Taji kapat. Mantra jap mama drira vishwasa. Mantra jap mama drira vishwasa. Firm faith in the Lord doing this mantra jap. You know, in 10th chapter, Bhagwan Shri Krishna says, yajnanam japa yajnosmi, says. Among all the types of yajnas that you can ever do, I am japa yajna. So mantra jap, holding on to that. Now, see, several things are there, how to use that mala and all. You hang the mala on these two fingers, and you use these two fingers to toll the beads towards yourself, and don't use this pointy finger. This fellow is called ego finger. We leave him out. And we use the other fingers and we pull the beads towards our self. Like that. This mantra jap requires this very important thing. This is the one sadhana that is so applicable to everything Tulsidashi says in this Ramayana. Because everywhere, while we will be describing BMI in Vedanta, right? We say body, mind and intellect in Vedanta. In Bhakti Marg, and in this Tulsi Ramayana, Tulsi Dashi everywhere. Mana Krama Bachan. You heard that phrase? Mana Krama Bachan. Mana means mind. Krama means action. Bachan means speech. In thought, word, deed. Thought, word, deed with our hand. The tree. Japa is the only sadhana that you can engage in, where all three are engaged. Suppose you're reading. You're doing swadhyaya. You're reading Gita. One will be left out. You're doing some other sadhana. Singing. The speech will be there. And you don't know where mine is. Just now bhajan will come also. So in any other sadhana, sometimes you're using one, sometimes you're using two. But manakrama bachana is used in this japa. So it is a most profound sadhana where, see, in mind, I have the form of the Lord in my mind. That's why it's vishwas, firm faith, and I have that form of that Lord, Ram. So mind is engaged in Ram. Then speech, Ram. And then hand. And what is important now in all three, there must be perfect synchronicity. Perfect synchronicity in all three. अदरवाइज कबीरदास जी सेड व्हाट दैट, माला तो कर्मे फिरे, माला तो कर्मे फिरे, माला इज गोइंग ऑन इन हैंड. मुख जीव नाम मन माही और व्हाटएवर ऑन द टंग द नेम ऑफ हियर माला टंग राम 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 एंड माइंड मनवा तो चहु दिसी फिरे. Mind is going in all direction. He says, "That's sort of sumiran nai. That is not japa. That is not, you know. All three must be there, present. Mantra japa, and that's why you see dridha word is given there. It is that dridha vishwas which brings the glue between all three. Dridha vishwas, firm, strong faith." In the Lord, which is going to be the glue to bring all three. Mana, krama, and bachan. Mantra, japa, dhrira, mama, dhrira, vishwasa, panchama, bhajana, subed, pakasa. This is the fifth type of devotion. Stated in Vedas, Tulsidaji or Bhagavan Sri Ram is telling to Lakshmana, this whole thing, Sri Ram is telling to Shabari, and Sri Ram is always quoting Vedas. Veda Prakasa. Vedas say like that. It is not that I am teaching anything new. You know, all the teachers, including avatars now, all teachers of India, including avatars, always tell they are not teaching anything new. There is nothing new to teach to the world. There is nothing new we can bring into the world which is not already there. Even the Lord avatar also is telling. So, Veda Prakasa. In the Vedas say like this. It means it's been there for forever. Chhat dama sila birati bahu karma. The sixth type of devotion is dama sila birati bahu karma nirata nirantar sajjana dharma. Dama. Dama means control of all the organs. Control of all of our organs. Not when you sit like this. Okay, Swamiji is sitting in front, I'm only going to look in front. And you sit down like this and you look. It doesn't mean that you put some strain or stress on your body and all the organs and all to just stay like that. It means you sit very comfortably, and if the eyes want to turn that way, suppose the eyes want to turn that way, the eyes should not turn without getting your permission. But that is our biggest problem, isn't it? After the eyes have turned, it looks at something there. Then that thing leads to another thing. Nothing leads to. Long after he figures out, oh, I'm in the class. Isn't it? That goes one after the next. The eyes did not see. We should be so aware that the eyes should first get permission to go. So, dhamma means that ability to be aware of the eyes and all the organs that before they do anything. So, we are not saying that they should not do. Before they do anything, they should first get my permission. That is the idea. Otherwise, they just go and do what they want. Then no dhamma is there. Dhamma. Seal. Seal is character. Great traits or qualities of character. Birati bahu karma. Birati bahu karma means, see, literal meaning is renunciation of so many actions. Means people engage in so many actions. So what it has to be understood as, there are many actions in this world which will not bring any spiritual benefit at all. There are many actions which will bring spiritual benefit. But there are so many, the human species engages in so many actions which bring absolutely no benefit. In Western world, that is called a leisure. Leisure, it is called. Leisure sports and leisure this and leisure that, which brings, and they try to justify that it will bring something, you know. And whatever justification people give for those type of actions, they only mention to you the half of the, they only mention to you half of the facts. They only tell about all the things that will accrue. They don't tell the cost. You never look at the cost. And the cost sometimes can be far reaching. Means half of your life is going as cost, but you're not counting that. Your life also has gone as cost, but you only saw the benefit. And those benefits also paltry, flippant, trivial benefits. And we go on justifying these actions. So bahu karma means, first of all these karmas which are absolutely useless in spiritual terms. They will not bring any benefit to anybody. I can name so many, but you have to think. See, in this country, there is a big, what they call here as fishing industry, na? And if you see how many things associated with that, how much money, how much time, how much effort, and it all goes. And what is the spiritual benefit? Ah, I caught a fish. And one man caught nothing. So he stopped by the fish market. And he told that man, take this money. Give me the biggest fish you have there. So the man took the money. This fellow stood back. He said, now throw it to me. The man said, why? He said, I want to tell them that I caught it. I want to tell everybody that I caught it. So you throw. This whole sport, or what is called a sport or whatever, leisure, I don't know what you will call it, brings absolute. Is there any need for American people to catch fish to survive? No. Some people justify. No, Swamiji, you know, it's a big industry. It provides jobs for so many people. They will make hooks and make boats and they'll make this and make that, make the other thing. Nah? So it's a big industry. That is their justification. And half the nation's life is gone to create jobs for a few people. You're not counting the cost. You only counting the few jobs that it created. You have to do the addition properly, you know. You add benefits and cost. You must add everything in cost, not just. So, like that, you go on seeing how many different types of activities as a species we engage in. You know, somebody was telling recently, look, people are going to the moon. People are going to space. People are going everywhere, right? How many millions or billions of taxpayer dollars are being spent for people to go to moon and space and all that kind of thing? So we know what is on the moon, what is in space, which planet is there. We know all of it, and we don't know who is living next door. We don't know the next door neighbor. But we know space and moon and everything. There's nobody there. This is an amazing thing, this species. We engage in so many, it's called bahu karma. Bahu karma is useless, wasteful karma. Go on counting, see how much effort and resources are spent. You will see. So first let us cut off all of those karmas. Bahu karma. Cut off half or three quarter will be gone. Now we engage in things that are going to bring spiritual benefit. Now among these things that we engage in the spiritual path also, there are still so many things we can cut off. So you have to, each person has to see his own life now. What I'm doing this thing uselessly, I'm only doing this, that. Maybe I should change this. Leave that action and concentrate on this thing. People feel that bhakti is only taking majira, ram. It requires us to think also, na? Bhakti. So, chata damasila biratu bahu karma, nirata nirantar sajjana dharma. Nirata nirantar sajjana dharma. Sajjana dharma, first you have to figure out what it is. You're reveling constantly in the dharma of sajjan. I mean, sajjan are people who are concerned with and engaged in sadhana. Whatever they do, all things are done oriented towards God. So you have to find out now, this saints and sages, when they what is that? Whatever, whenever we speak, we should speak about Bhagwan. Whatever we do, we should do for Bhagwan. Yat karoshi, yat jhoshi, yat ashnasi, whatever we eat, offer, all Bhagwan Shri Krishna telling Gita, na, all should be done for God. When we meet somebody else, talk about Bhagwan rather than talk about fishing. I caught the biggest fish. Talk about the Lord. Because any other thing is fishy. Talk only about Bhagwan. किसी महात्मा ने कहा कि साधु साधु से मिले हो ही ईश्वर की बात, गधा गधे से मिले हो ही लाटम लाट. When one sadhu meets another sadhu, they talk about Ishwara. And when two donkey meet each other, they only kick each other. So when we meet, talk about, that is what sajjan do. That is what sadhus do. Talk about God, Bhagwan. Nirata nirantara sajjana dharma. Satava samamohi maya jagat dekha. This is the seventh type of devotion. Seventh type of devotion is seeing me existing equally in all things in the world. Seeing Bhagwan existing. Lord Krishna also speaks about this profusely. On all Kabir Das, Upanishad, everywhere you see this thing. Huh? What is that? Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavi Hastini Shunicha Evashwapa Kecha Pandita Sama Darshina. Seeing the Lord existing equally in all things in the world. That is called the seventh type of devotion. So the seventh type of devotion is a type of vision, a type of seeing. We have to change our, the way we see things. How we see things, right now we see you and yours, me and mine. Maya, he says, in the beginning of this Aranyakand. When I see only you and yours, me and mine, there is no God in that. You keep your thing, I will keep mine. But learning to see God in all things, it is called the seventh type of devotion. Mote sant adhika kari lekha. And seeing saints, and see how Bhagwan Sri Ram is so humble. Seeing the saints and sages as even greater than me, the Lord himself. I mean, so much of reverence we should have for saints and sages that we hold them even greater than the Lord himself. How much he wants us to respect saints and sages and sadhus. What a strong part of the tradition. Athava jatha lava santosha. The eighth type of devotion is called as santosha. Bhagavan Sri Krishna talks in Gita so much about this. Santushta satatam yogi yatatma dhrira nishchayaha. Santushta, being all the time contented. You know, contentment comes with understanding only. Contentment can only come with understanding. Our Sri Ramana Maharishi says, you know, that we may do whatever actions we want in this world, but the results of those actions are determined only by Bhagwan. If we understand this thing very clearly and we hold it strongly in our mind, we'll always be contented. Why? Because I do all of these actions and now the dispenser of the results is Bhagwan. He's the pharmacist. He dispenses. Right? So, after I have finished all the actions, whatever he dispenses, whatever he comes, I'm okay. But if I don't adhere to this principle now, I insist on certain result, and when I don't get it, my mind is troubled all the time. Dissatisfied. Discontented. Disillusioned. So many words are there. Huh? But if I understand that I have done the action, now the rest is in Bhagwan's hands. And whatever he sends, my life will be contented all the time. So holding on very strongly to that. Kartuhu agnaya prapyate phalam. It's by his wish or command only, I get the results of action. And if he so desires that I do not get this result, well, I don't get it. Santushtaha satatam yogi. he tells in 12th chapter. So, Athava Jathalav Santosha. Our Shankaracharya in his Bhajagovindam in beginning also.
Yallabhase nijakarmo patam vittam tena vinodaya chittam.
You work hard, expend your labor, and work hard, do your job, and whatever comes from that thing, just entertain your mind and your life with that thing. But your contentment should come in from working hard. I work hard. I worked hard. That should bring the contentment itself.
Sapanehu nahi dekhai parat dosha. In dream also, he says, not to see the fault of others.
What a tremendous requirement of bhakti. This is still number 8. In dream also not seeing the fault of others. That is an amazing thing. See, in our waking state, that is all we do. But he says, if we should not do this in waking state, so much so, not even in dream we should do it. How much we have to perfect it even in the waking state, so that in the dream also we will not do it. To see faults of others. But we have all gained a great proficiency in this. Seeing, and we don't see our own faults. It is something which is, it's a truism about human existence. So what we have to do now is just try to correct that, to fight it, to rectify that. Because, look, it is not that we made an effort to do it, you know. We didn't make an effort to see the faults of others. Paranchi khani vyatrinat swayambhu. Tasmat parang pashyanti nanta. Ratma, we don't see the antar atma. Our senses are as though oriented only outside. All get towards seeing things outside. So I may have butter on my nose, but I'm telling you, hey, look, there's a spot on your face. We don't see the butter on our own nose. We have made that way. So the challenge of spirituality is this. This natural propensity to go outside and see there, the faults there, the challenge of spirituality is to turn that thing to see the faults on myself. See where I have to make adjustments here, adjustments there, remove this, remove that. See my own faults. In dream also, it means we should perfect this sadhana so well that even in dream, I do not see the faults of others. You know, one place you can start? This is a very wonderful thing. Saints and sages say, if you see the faults in others, you better look inside of you because it is a reflection of what is inside. So let the fault of the others, even though you see it, let's say I insist on seeing it. So even though you see it, let it remind you that it is a reflection of what is in your mind. Because listen, all of us have faults, you know. It's only a matter of degrees. Same faults we'll have. Some will have it more, some will have it less. Oh, another thing you can remember, the only way I was able to recognize it in the other person is because I have it. If I did not know what it was, how I'll see it in the other person? I very well know what it was, what it is. You see? Navama sarala sava sana chalahina mama bharosa hiya harashana dina. Navama, ninth type of devotion or bhakti is sabasana, sarala sabasana chalahina. So first word is a saral. Sarala subhava na mana kuti lai, says in Uttarakhand. Saral subhava means saral swabhav. Simple nature, straightforward. Huh? And very unassuming and straightforward, simple in nature. That is called a saral. Otherwise, human beings can become very complicated. We can become very difficult. But we have to keep very simple. Does anybody ask you any question? Was it raining outside just now? Well, it depends on what you mean by rain. No, come on. Yes. The answer is yes. Boss, why you? We can become very difficult people. When one judge is asking you for, what is it? Did you enter that house at 5 o'clock? He's asking a defendant. He said, Your Honor, on or about that time? Did you steal $5,000 from that house? He said, more or less. The judge said, told the police officer, put him in jail. So he shouted at the judge, Your Honor, when will you release me? He said, sooner or later. Because that is how you are dealing with the world. That is what you will meet in the world. Just straight, subtle, simple. Keep it brief, short, and sweet. Simple. That is the idea. Saral subhav namana kuti like that. Chalahina. Chalahina means without any intention or attempt to deceive, to hoodwink, to pull the wool. Always an American statement, isn't it? Pull the wool over his eyes. And no such intention should ever be there. Or to deceive anybody. That's called chalahina. Mama bharosa hiya harashana dina. Mama bharos means having reliance only on Prabhu Shri Ram. Reliance on, because we rely on so many things in this world, you know. Reliance only on the Lord. We lean on so many things. And the nature of the world is what? Anything I lean on. This world is like this, huh? Listen, please understand rule of this universe. Anything I lean on, sooner or later, somebody will pull it. When they pull it, what will happen? Gir jayega. Person will fall. So, no leaning. This is the most wonderful aspect of this last. No leaning on anybody or anything. I find all my refuge and all my support and security and everything, I find it inside on the Lord. The Lord is there and He will take care of me. And I'm not going to lean on anybody or anything in this world. Otherwise, we are setting up ourselves for a great big fall like Humpty Dumpty who sat on the wall. And all the king's men and all the king's horses could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. That is what is going to happen to us. So don't lean on. And it means make your life so strong, make your life so well fortified that anything can be pulled away from your life and you will be all the same. That is the idea. So Mama Bharos, having, and this can come only with firm reliance only on Bhagwan, because he is the only one who couldn't be pulled away. Suridas, Shri Krishna is running away from Suridas. And Suridas is running to catch him. And how he knows that Shri Krishna is there? Suridas is blind. He knows Krishna is there because he hears Radha's kankan. She's running, so he's hearing those anklets. So Suridas is running in the same direction as Krishna has to be here. And Krishna knows that he cannot see, but he can hear, so he's running. And suddenly Suridas stops. He said, Prabhu, you're running from me? Okay, you run. But I dare you to run out from my heart. Let me see. Prabhu Shri Ram also weeps when Suridas says this. And he embraces him because he knows he cannot come out from the heart of Suridas. The Lord cannot leave our heart. He may leave and run outside, but he cannot leave from inside. So that is the Lord where we are supposed to find all our refuge. Here, Harasha, Nadina. And all the time says, this is also a very important thing, quickly. Here, Harasha means all the time be cheerful. Even if the sky falls down, let it fall. Because you will not be responsible for it. Harasha, here. Joy and cheerfulness in the heart. Remain cheerful. Because the world around will spring up, it will crumble, it will spring up, it will crumble. You did not make that world. We did not make the world. That is the nature of the world. Here, Harasha Nadina. Don't go on, all the time feeling, oh, I'm so unfortunate. I'm so miserable. I don't know why the world has dealt this blow to me. All things only coming on my head. Why those people don't suffer for a change? Only I am suffering. So I feel that I feel myself to be so unfortunate and so downtrodden and all that. I mean, cheer up and smile. Even if you don't feel like smiling, still smile. Others will wonder what happened to you. Or play flight attendants.
When you get up and you're having a miserable day, on that day say, okay, today I play flight attendants. Because even though they don't want to smile, they have to. Yeah. And don't keep on feeling sorry for yourself. And that's why Bhagavan Sri Krishna shouts at Arjuna, Tetva tishta parantapa kutastva akashamalam idam vishame samupastitam. Stand up. Oh, Arjuna, it doesn't behove you. Klebhyam masmagama partha. Why you allow this sort of dreary, gloomy type of feeling to take you over suddenly and you... So he tells him, get up, stand up, like the Upanishads also tell. And all the time remain cheerful and taking refuge in Bhagwan. Fight the battle of your life, like that. Okay, now end. Samay bit gaya. Time also has gone away. But Navadha Bhakti, I finished. Bhagwan Sri Ram tells Chavari, if a person has one of this in his life, one out of the nine, if a person only has one in his life, that person's life is fulfilled. And Shabari, what to tell? You have all nine. Even one makes a person's life complete. You have all nine in your life. You know? And that begs another question. What is that question? If Shabari already has nine, why he told? Why Sri Ram told? Two answers, nice answers. One is, avatar is not only to teach Shabari. Avatar is to also teach all of us. That's one answer. Second answer is, when the Lord sees his devotee, the Lord sings the glories of his devotee. So these nine devotions are there in Shabari. So he's actually singing Shabari's glories. That is why he's telling nine. Because he himself is telling she already had nine. So if she has nine, why to tell? Tell her nine. He's actually glorifying the qualities already present in Shabari. How great the Lord is to even glorify his own devotees. Okay. Now we have Aarti, everything also. Okay. All right. No, finished. Huh? Let us have one bhajan and then we'll have one. I like that Sri Ram, you know. Hmm?
They are asking to chant the rest of his glories.
Oh. Looking at that book, so okay, let me see which one is there. Sunai. Okay. We'll chant now till the end of that passage, right? Okay, so in the last portion there, Bhagwan Sri Ram continues to tell her, you know, and there's a most wonderful verse on Vedanta. There are all those people who think that Tulsidas ji did not write about Vedanta. Pure Vedanta is coming in that very famous line. I'm glad you all encouraged me to go and look at it. Nice Vedantic lines. But anyways, Soi atisya priya bhamini more sakala prakara bhagati drihattore. All these type of devotion, they're firmly planted in you. So there was no need for me to tell you, in other words. Jogi brinda dullabha gati joi to kahu aja sulabha bhai soi. That, those type of devotions, or that, those things which the yogis strive so hard to get,
just sim- haven't you seen people like that in the world? You'll meet a person, you see, you're doing so much of sadhana, this, that, all kind of thing. You know, you want to control mind, you want to be have discipline, you want to have that, you want so many things you want. And you meet some person who's never done anything. As though they have never done any of this sadhana, never gone there, and they seem to have all those things which you are struggling for, isn't it? He's telling you all the yogis strive so hard to get darshan from me, to get sparshan from me, to get, you know, all different things. And today you seem to have gotten everything. Like nothing also. You just, by sleight of hand as though. How great she was. Mama darasana phala parama anupa. Jiva pava nija sahaja sarupa. This is a Vedantic line. What it means to say? The meaning of the line is, darshan of Bhagwan simply means the jiva coming to see his own self. People will darshan of Bhagwan, Bhagwan is there, and I'm going to see him there. But even in the bhakti mark, how wonderfully Tulsidas ji writes, even in the bhakti mark, darshan of Bhagwan actually means darshan of one's own self. See, that is even jiva pava nija sahaja sarupa. Nija sahaja sarupa means one's own self. So true darshan of the Lord is really the jiva coming to see his own self in bhakti marg also. That is why I keep telling people bhakti marg should not be sold cheaply. All sorts of things are sold cheaply in the name of bhakti. It is the requirements of the path of bhakti is just as strict and demanding as the requirements of the path of Vedanta or Gyan. The effort is exactly the same. Some people feel you can get it more easily, you know. And look here now. If you buy something cash or you buy something on terms, you have to pay the same money or not? Or on terms, you may have to pay more. It means, what you call that, on installments. Right? You may have to pay more. But in the end, you end up paying same. Yes. So bhakti is like on what you call installments. Gyan one shot, I mean direct. Bhakti, you take your time and do this and do that, but the amount of effort in the end amounts to the same. Don't try to think that or sell bhakti cheaply. Or, no, easily true bhakti will reach. Easily. See, either you go straight up the mountain like this, again, or you go. Effort ends up being same. Mama darasana. Mama darsan, phala parama anupa jiva pava nija sahaja sarupa. Janaka suta kai sudhi bhamini, oh bhamini. He calls her, tell me, I'm looking for Sita. You have any news? I want to find her. Please tell me. Janahi kahu kari bara gamini. Do you know anything about her, where I can find her? Then she tells her, pampa sarahi. Jahu Ragurai. See how wonderful it is. Taha hoihi Sugriva mitai. There you will meet Sugriv. Befriend Sugriv. So sabakahi Deva Raghuvira. Oh Raghuvir, Sugriv will tell you everything. She never left this little kutia, you know. And how she knew that Sugriv had seen Ravan taking away Sita. It means she's such a accomplished sadhak, staying in her little kutia there, she knew everything that was going on. And now, then one will say, but then she would have known where Sita ji is also. Huh? So why go and see Sugriv? He will tell you. If she knew, Sugriv knew, then she would have also known what Sugriv knew. So why not tell directly? Why to go on? You see, there's another wonderful sign of a true devotee. I have gotten darshan and blessing. Now let Sugriv also get darshan and blessing. So she tells you, go there and Sugriv will tell you. Totally selfless. Aman! Bhagati? Aman! Janatahu, Puchahu, Mati Dhira,
He knows. You go and ask him. Bar bar Prabhupada Sirunai Prema Sahita Sabakatha Sunai. Again and again, she bowed her head to his feet. And then the other few verses, now the Chandan will tell that in Yog Agni, she burnt her body and she left that. Yog Agni is for great yogis and great exalted souls. They can just sit, and through power of yoga, they can send that body up in flames and leave the body. You are allowed to do it, but only through yoga. Not any other way, you know. If you can do it through yoga. Yeah. Sati did it in Daksha's court also. Shankaracharya's father did. There's so many examples in the tradition. He told his mother and Shankaracharya, little boy, he told, now I'm going. And through yoga, burn the body. Time to leave. Prarabdha. Finish. Okay. A little bit higher. Karunanidhan Prabhu Shri Ram. Why I like his bhajan, you know. About this phrase, Karunanidhan is the name of Shri Ram. He's called as Karuna Nidhan. But it is said that only one person in his whole life had called him Karuna Nidhan, and that is Sita. She was the only one who called him Karuna Nidhan. And when Hanumanji reached Lanka, he called her, Hanumanji told her that I have come from Karuna Nidhan. And when she heard this name, she knew Hanuman had to come from Ram. Then the name broke out. Only after that the name became known. See. Karuna Nidhan Prabhu Shri Ram.
Hanuman Sita Vallabha Hanuman Sita
दशरथ नंदन संत जन रंजन माया प्रेरक मुक्ति प्रदायक
संभव मुनि भी ज्ञानी te purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vashishyate om shanti 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 hari om shri gurubhyo namaha hari
रामचंद्र की जय पावन सुत हनुमान की जय गुरु भाई सब संतन की जय श्री सत्य सनातन धर्म की जय सद्गुरुनाथ महाराज की जय नमः पार्वती पते हर हर महा